As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to Love My Renovation Project. And of course, while we don't love them all, we love most of them, and most of them go off without a hitch. So, I'm still laid up a little under the weather with that sepsis, but we're recovering, and shortly we'll be back 100%. If you'd like to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. With your renovation questions or comments or whatever you might have. If you have a 203K or home-style renovation project and it's going south, you just don't have anybody to talk to on your side of the equation, feel free to give us a call. That call is absolutely free. There's no charge ever until we tell you to do that. There'll be a charge. While we've helped, I don't know how many hundreds of people, only not even a half a dozen have been charged anything. And it's when they said, Mike, can you do this for us? When you have me do it for you, there will be a charge. But if I can talk you through the motions and have you do what I tell you to do on your own, then I have no charge to you. So feel free to give us a call. Consultants out there, sometimes you need to talk to somebody about an issue you're having and you don't want to talk to a local competitor. So feel free to call us. We are not going to tell anybody about our conversation. We just try to help as many people as possible. I got a kick out of years ago I went to a meeting. I can't believe these people that hold meetings at 7 a.m. So I get to the meeting and I'm standing in the hall outside the meeting room and I'm looking at all these pictures and I see their number one producer is this young lady and I had done a 203K with her. And I thought, interesting. That changes my talk a little bit. So finally they brought me in and it's my turn to talk and I'm looking around the room and I don't see her. Because she played a dirty trick on me. She was long blonde hair in the picture outside. And that's the first time I ever saw her. But there was no long blonde hair in the room. And I said, well, is so-and-so here? And sitting right in front of me was this short brown hair gal. And she says, yeah, that's me. I said, you're kidding. You look so different than your picture. That's not too nice to do to an old man. And she laughed. And I said, by the way, my name is Mike Young. She stood up, got up, and threw her arms around me and gave me a big hug and kissed my cheek and said, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, and sat back down. Well, I did it for a reason. She's their number one producer. She's sitting in the front of the room, and she likes me. And I had never met her before. So lo and behold, what happened was, I said, would you like to tell the story of how we met? And she said, sure. She said, I'd doing my first 203K with a contractor who'd never done a 203K, and the lender had never done a 203K before, and the consultant had never done a 203K before. And things were not going the way I thought they should, so I called Mike. And Mike took charge immediately and got a hold of the consultant and explained exactly what he should be doing and when, and got us back on track. We closed in 29 days. She closed under 30 days, her very first time out of the bucket with all brand new people. Now, I don't recommend that you use an all brand new crew that's never done a 203K before. I just don't recommend it. If you do it, you may want to get us on there too. But the kicker was when she looked at everybody, she says, Mike did not charge any of us any money. He did it free out of the kindness of his heart. And she says, you got to appreciate that. So now I'm just saying that if you have a team member that knows what they're doing, they can guide the rest of the team through. But if you have a team that's all brand spanking new and nobody's ever done a 203K before, it may be a good time just to pull in someone like me. They can be local to you. They don't have to be. I work all over the United States. And we're all about helping people be better at what they are. I love this loan. I fell in love with this loan products when they came out, when I heard about them. If I asked 100 people in a room, maybe 100 realtors, when did 203K happen? When did it first come about? They would probably give me 100 different answers. Most of them will be 2005. That's when the limited or the streamlined 203K, now the limited 203K, came about. But the 203K started in 1961. Can you believe that? 1961. And I've been in some seminars where I was giving, and I ask anybody, have you ever done a 203K? And this one lady raised her hand. She says, I did one in 1968. I said, you're kidding. She says, yes, and it closed in 30 days. And I said, you did one with somebody that has experience, a lender that knew what he was doing, and everybody did what they were supposed to. She says, yeah, and they didn't have consultants in those days. No, but you had somebody that was guiding the way, lighting the path, so you didn't have to go figure out everything all by yourself. And in 1994, they created consultants. I love it when I hear a consultant say, Mike, I've been doing that since 1940. Yeah, right. Or 1970 or 1990. No, consultants were created in 94. You cannot have been doing it since 1990. So it's hilarious how some people stretch the truth. I don't know. Anyway, we're having a lot of fun. She caught everybody's attention. At that point, everybody paid attention to the rest of my talk. You can't emphasize too much that local experience. Their number one real estate agent in that office had used our services totally free. We helped everybody in the process. They were all thankful. We weren't trying to steal anybody's business or anybody's thunder. And that's what we're all about. If you've taken our training, as a consultant, we encourage our consultants to put me on the speed dial. Don't introduce me. If you have a question in the field you cannot answer, call me, because I answer most of my own phone calls. That's just the way I started my business, and it's what's made me successful. So what makes you successful is what you keep doing. So the phone rings, I pick it up most of the time. If I'm on the phone, then I'll call you right back. And just say, hey, Mike, we have a question in the field. Would you mind if we put you on a speaker? And I said, nope, go right ahead. They ask the question. I answer the question, and you say goodbye. I am not looking for you to introduce me. I do not want to be introduced. I want that client to think you are the place to go to get your information. Call it a guru, call it your sensei, call it whatever you want to call me, but don't make me special. Just ask your question. I'll give you the answer. If you want to call me back later and thank me, fine. If you want to send me an email and said, Mike, that went perfectly, they think you're part of my office, that's what I really want. That's my goal. So just pay attention and be who you are, and let me help you be the best in your marketing area. Oh, excuse me. I've been dealing with a blood infection called sepsis for the past, since the 27th of last month. I thought I was having a heart attack and dying. And they stuck us in an emergency and got me to the point where they finally figured out what I had, and then it took him a few more days to figure out what was causing it. And we've spent the next 14 to so days curing the infection. And now they've got an operation set up to go take the organ that was failing out. In the meantime, sepsis, if you don't know about it, starts shutting your organs down from your lungs and your kidneys and your liver. It just starts shutting them down. And without treatment, you die. It's that simple. So I am not 100% yet. But I still answer my calls when they come in, and I'm spending most of my time fielding calls and talking with people around the country to help make their businesses better. So I've had a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails from friends and consultants nationally, lenders, telling me that get well soon and so forth, and that's where we're heading. We just got a little dog, and the dog just went through the studio right into his feed dish. Okay. Anyway, on with the show. We've had so many comments about last week's show from consultants wanting to know more about how they are supposed to do their jobs. Wow, I had no idea. So glad to see there are some responsible consultants out there that just got bad training or inadequate training, but want to correct it. Fantastic news, actually. I'm really impressed that you all are looking to do it correctly. The big part of that is somebody has been teaching to go out and get a contractor's bid first and copy it. That is absolutely wrong. All you have to do is look at the guideline. It clearly states that you are to be able to put up a scope of work and price it out. Once you price it out, then you remove the prices and send that scope out to your contractors for bid, whether you're sending it to one contractor or four contractors. Makes no difference on our part. Our bid should never match the contractor's bid. I got a call from a Hawk, a home ownership center, and they told me that, Mike, you're a trainer, so we want to get the word out. If your numbers and the contractor's numbers match penny for penny, we will remove you from the HUD roster. Is that clear enough for everybody? If your numbers and the contractor's numbers match penny for penny, you'll be removed from the HUD roster by HUD because you're not doing your job. And if you're just copying a contractor's bid, then you just don't know what you're doing. You've been trained inadequately. You've not paid attention to the guideline that you attested, you read and understood. So, you know, it's not fair to collect the same fee as someone like Garrett Feist or myself or some of the other guys, the old timers that actually know how to do this. And we're itemizing and making sure that that scope of work is detailed enough that, you know, two or three different contractors will read the same thing and create a list of repairs and a bid according to the same specifications of repairs. The more detailed your specification of repairs is, the more detailed your finished product will be. Anyway, so that endeavor, we will be going over last week's notes again today. And at the end, for those who want to learn how to bid a project properly, we will be putting a course, either 2 to 4 hour course together on bidding projects. It may be given over an hour, a weekend, or something like that.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203k911.com now and let's fix your problems.
If you want to be part of the show, you've got some questions you'd like to run by us, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free from anywhere in the United States. 11 West, no, all the United States, the continental United States. We're getting back to bidding. How long does it take us to put a bid together? Typically, I just did one for $525,000, took us 5 days. A general contractor bidding that same job would have probably taken 5 weeks because he's got to get all of his subcontractors out there, the concrete guys and the framing guys and so forth, and put his bids together. And once he has all those bid together, then he's got to put his markup on everything and compile it all. But one of the things that we do is we try to keep ourselves clear so that we're not wasting time talking to people about the project and answering questions like, how is it going? So once we make an appointment, we send what's called an order acknowledgement. It's addressed to the lender, the loan officer, and we say, thank you for the consultation order. We set the appointment up for Monday, August 20th at 3 o'clock. The inspection will be at the following address, and we give them the address. If we get all of the existing and expected reports at that time of the inspection, we will have our report off to contractors to bid within about a week. That's 5 working days. If you'd like to be at the inspection, you're welcome, but it's not necessary. This is merely an effort to keep you informed. End of notice. That's where we stop the notice. Now, the idea behind this is that we don't want those bothersome calls that say, how is it coming along? Are you doing good? Are you where you thought you would be? And those are waste of my time and the waste of the consultant's time, and frankly, a waste of the loan officer's time. Concentrate on your aspect of the team play. And if your aspect of the team play is completed, if you've got all of your VOEs and your VOIs, for those people that don't know, that's a verification of employment and verification of income. Then if you have to call us, but give us that 4 to 5 days, because if you do, you'll never have to call us or rarely have to call us. I had to tell one loan officer who called every hour of every day, wanting to know how his project was coming. I just asked him to find another consultant for future orders. Haven't heard from him since. Don't want to hear from him. So how is it that we can bid a job in a few days and many contractors take weeks to provide a bid? Well, it's all in the manner of who puts the bid together and how you do it. Now, I know that when I was growing up, my father was a HVAC contractor and later a general contractor. But while he was an HVAC contractor, the only quality time we had with him is after dinner, he'd get a blueprint and spread it out on the living room floor and be down on his tummy measuring things and creating an air conditioning system and putting the fine-tuning how many lengths of 6-inch pipe and how many lengths of 8-inch pipe and how many reducers and plenums and a furnace and all that good stuff. And he's putting his bid together, but realize that he is just one aspect of a total bid. So particularly if you're adding a room addition, you're going to have electrical, possibly plumbing, if there's a bathroom involved. You're going to have all these components
And those components have to be bid individually and then consolidated, totaled. The general then is going to put his markup on everything and so forth. So my time as a 10-year-old kid was to jump on Dad. It's the only time you're going to play with him. He's laying on the floor there. It's an easy target. So just jump on his back and start wrestling with him to get some quality time. And he would wrestle me back down and turn me over. And I was, no time was laying there on my tummy doing takeoffs on the second set of plans after I knew what I was doing. By the time I was 12, I was quite efficient at it. So it's, we had to play with Dad on his terms, and his terms was building a business. So I learned to lay out the heating systems first. Both of my brothers are in the heating and sheet metal business today. Well, one of them was. He passed away a few years ago, but the other one's still in the heating and air conditioning. He works in the fine stuff, real, very precision sheet metal stuff. He might be working at an Apple, what do they call it, a campus. And Apple has very, very strict specifications for their commercial products. When they're building a countertop out of stainless steel, as an example, they etch the back of it. So when they bend it, it bends perfectly and sharply to give you a nice, clean, sharp edge. So all things that we end up learning to do eventually. Okay, I'm just dubbing a chicken lock here. Make sure I'm not running over. For a contractor to bid a job, they need input from each of their subcontractors. Therefore, they're subject to the whim of the slowest subcontractor's bid. Obtaining the slowest contractor's bid. So, you know, they may get the HVAC bid in 2 days. They may get the plumber's bid in a week. They may get the electrician's bid in 3 weeks. The roofer can't get out there for a month. All of this adds delay. A consultant is expected to bid each and every trade. And we have manuals that will help us do that. Home Tech Renovation Cost Guide is excellent for what we do. In fact, it was the recommended source in the older HUD manuals to use. And if you decide, if you're a consultant and, or if you're a city, county offices, and you're looking for ways to check out these contractor bids, you know, building inspection departments get people coming in and say, well, I want to build this thing for $2,000, when in reality, this thing is $6,000. They're trying to keep the cost of the permits down. So counties and cities all work with a cost guide of some sort. And if they're not, they should be using this Home Tech services. Home Tech has been providing cost analysis for contractors for over 50 years, and it's by zip code. So they're very accurate down to the zip code. What it does for the consultant, it provides you with the authoritative cost information for each area you might work at. If you're working in a large city like New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles, you're going to pay more for the work than if you were in a tiny town in Mississippi. The cost guides are very effective. If you've never put a price together for a project, you're in a disadvantage. So you need to bring your education up to par. Since last week's show, we've had lots of requests for teaching a course on costing a project. It really isn't as difficult as it may seem at first, but once you have it done a couple of them, it'll come as second nature. Simply put, it's your job as a consultant to create the scope of work and to price it out as if you were the general contractor. what this does is it empowers the client by letting them know just what to expect when the bids start coming in and there's no surprises. Okay? I had one of my biggest contractors who argued with me regularly and asked me to take something off my website, which is still on my website, by the way. And that is, know your contractor's cost before he bids the job. He actually hated that on my website. He told me many times, take that off of there. I don't like that. You kind of put us in a box. And I said, yeah, but it's a fair box. You know, you can be higher than my bid. You don't have to be my bid, but my bid is taken off Home Tech. It's verifiable data. So, you know, if you're way higher than that, you could be. I had one client that came to us with a job, and it was a $475,000 is her bid from her contractor. They had just inherited the house in Concord, California, and they got this contractor. He's well known in the area, and he put a price together of $475,000. Then they got a hold of me, and we don't like to see that bid before we get our bid together, but we had it, so we looked it over. And I came back to the client, and I said, I don't know where this guy's getting his numbers, but he seems to be outrageously high. Now, if you want him because he's the guy that's going to do this thing, and you don't mind paying him $200,000 more for the same work I can get you done for, then that's your choice. But my job is to make you aware of that. And they said, you really? He's over our budget. He's way over our budget. Would you just go ahead and bid it like you would normally? I said, sure. So I put a bid together, and we came out at about $200,000 less. And I said, I don't see why we can't get this job for done for under $300,000 and not $475,000. So we put it out to bid to another contractor. Another contractor came back at within $25,000 of my number, and he was lower. So I walked him through the entire scenario, and we went over line by line so I could see where he was so cheap. It turned out that he had missed something, and by the time we got it figured out, it put that back in his bid, and he was right on the money. So we just have to be careful. Sometimes things aren't as they seem. Anyway, please call us at 888-627-6008. We enjoy your feedback. We enjoy your comments and your questions from the audience. And that's what makes our show fresh. So please, if you have a question, don't think anybody else knows the answer. They probably don't and just are afraid to ask the question. So we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, we're back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free. Believe it or not, your comments, your questions make our show more interesting. So we really appreciate the feedback. When you call in, you got a question, don't think other people don't have the same question. They do. They're just afraid to ask it, just like you are sitting there. So pick the phone up, dial 888-627-6008. And let's get your question on the air. Once the contractor sends his bid to the homeowner after they put a bid together, agency. We put the bid together, we take the prices out of it with a click of a button, and we send that blank out to the contractor. So if our specification of repairs is written properly, the bid should come back very, very close together. There shouldn't be any wild numbers just sitting out there anymore. If there are, then chances are that item doesn't have enough detail in the job specs. If you say something simple as install a new water heater, that is insufficient to make a decision. Contractor one might figure a 40-gallon water heater, and contractor two might figure a high-quality on-demand type water heater. So even on-demand water heaters, you need to be specific. We had a bid for one at $3,500. I said, no, wait a minute, something wrong here. I called another contractor and had him bid the same job, and he was $1,700. So there are people out there that are looking to take advantage. We try not to deal too much with those people. But it's important that you write the specification of repairs clearly and make it understandable to anybody who might be reading it. Model numbers, model and make is important. I had one where I specified a forced air furnace as Day and Night brand. There's a brand called Day and Night. And in case you don't know, it's made by the Carrier Group. So they've got a factory at Carrier, and they're pouring out these furnaces. And these furnaces are all identical. They're all coming off the same line. They're all the same color in most cases. But when they package them and put them in the box, they have a little plastic bag. And in that bag is a half a dozen different nameplates. One says Day and Night. One says Carrier. One says Bryant. All these different names are in a bag. So when the contractor gets to the job, if he's a Carrier distributor, he pulls the Carrier tag out and sticks it on a forced air furnace. Well, if he's Day and Night, then he pulls the Day and Night. If he's Bryant, he pulls the Bryant. But they're all exactly the same unit. There is not any difference. They came off the same line, one right behind the other one. Now, I specified Day and Night, trying to be good, do my job properly. The contractor installed the furnace, and then he pulls the plastic bag out, and he grabbed Carrier because he normally installs Carrier. And he sticks the Carrier logo up there. The homeowner went ballistic. No, Mike suggested that we put in Day and Night. So I tried to talk to her and explain how we even showed her the bag with all the name tags. She wasn't going to go for it. She wanted that removed. She wanted to see it gone. She wanted to see a brand new box come out there and open that brand new box and put that furnace in her location, even though it was identical. So you can be unreasonable when you specify, but the contractor should have been more careful. He was happy to do it and happy to get off that job, by the way. But in any case, the consultant should be telling people that this is the brand name we want and this is the model numbers. I always add or equal or equivalent to, so that if we have a little issue like that, that we can hopefully get by it without bringing a second brand new furnace and opening the box on the site. Now let's get back to bidding a job. When you put a scope of work together, I recommend that you also throw your best guess down for each item you're specifying before you look it up. Your brain is a very, very powerful computer. And if you put down there, replace a window with a aluminum sliding window, dual pane, low E, then I want you to guess what you think that price might be if you don't already know. You might say $250 for materials and $250 for labor. And the reason you do that is when you do look it up, you see that it's, wow, it's $275 for the window. Or in my area, it's $300 for the window. And the labor's $400. It's $300 if it's brand new construction and you're slapping it on the outside. But if you've got a cut and a hole in the wall and so forth and put a window in, or you're retrofitting a window, they all have a different cost. But I want you to guess. So when you do look it up and you go back and look at that item and you change the price to what you now found to be a fact from your cost guide, your brain will automatically categorize that and cubbyhole it, put it in your arsenal. So the next time that you're writing up to replace a window, you're going to try to write 250, but your brain won't let you. It will automatically go back and say, wait a minute. Last time we looked that up, it was 275. And then when you try to write 250 for labor, you say, no, the brain said it was 400 for labor. And the first thing you know, you're going to be bidding these jobs and putting down really good numbers right up front. We call that guesstimating rather than estimating. We've got some interesting things going on with trainers around the country. The guideline says a consultant must be able to put up a scope of work, put it together, and to price it out. HUD also says that your bid and the contractor's bid cannot and must not match penny for penny. Every lender you talk to says your bid and the contractor's bid must match penny for penny. So you got HUD telling you one thing and the lenders telling you quite the opposite. So whose instructions do you follow? There's one trainer out there that has told all their trainees to go out and get a contractor's bid first. Don't even go to the job unless you have a contractor's bid in your hand. And that is contrary to the guideline. And if HUD catches you doing it, they'll remove you from the list as fast as they put you on the list. Maybe faster. I have one lender that insists the contractor should be the first person on the job to provide a bid. Well, that's, again, not according to the guideline. The HUD catches is doing it. They're going to take you off the list for 6 months as a minimum punishment. And if you backtalk them, they may just take you off the list altogether. So how do I get around this notion of not matching the contractor's bid and yet matching it for the lender's purposes? The lenders can have what they call a supplemental requirement. A requirement over and above HUD's requirements. So what we've done and what we train is you put your bid together, you make your inspection, you write the scope, you send the scope out blank to contractors. Contractors' bids come in, you look at them, homeowner and you decide which contractor they want to use. At that point, we have what we call our first draft number one. It has our price and our price only in it. Let's say our price is $55,000. Contractor one comes in at $58,000. Which one do you use? Well, HUD says you can use the consultant's bid to close the loan. And if the contractor's bid is within the contingency amount, you can pay him the difference out of contingency for his overrun. Quite often what we'll do is if the bid is that close, is we'll expose the other bid to the contractor. Hey, is there any chance you can get closer to this number? Quite often they'll say, yeah, we'll just meet that number. We'll just do it for that. So the consultant has held his true to his calling and used his own bid, and the contractor is now going to match the consultant's bid. There's no guideline on that. contractors don't even have to bid the project if they'll accept the consultant's bid. Oh, some lenders. I know one lender that held a job up for 5 months and didn't close it. And all they had to do was close it. They wanted the contractor to change his bid and add a few items, and the contractor refused. There's no requirement in the guideline that I've ever spotted that says the contractor must provide a bid. So why would you hold a project up 5 months for closing? I'm surprised it stayed together all that time. Anyway, so what do? Review each and every line item. Compare your bid to the contractor's bid. Quite often, you'll find that the differences are in one or two items. For the most part, your bid matches the contractor's bid, but not penny for penny. They don't need to match penny for penny. If I bid a job at $55,000 and the contractor comes in at $54,000, we can run that as a savings and move it over to contingency during the course of construction. Okay? So you don't have to match penny for penny. In fact, HUD says you shouldn't match penny for penny. Lender says we'll take you off the list if you don't match penny for penny. HUD's going to take you off their list if you do match penny for penny. So in any case, you're between a rock and a hard place. Many times a contractor might have a better way of doing a particular task than you thought of in some cases, and can really cut the number down on one. We had a house in Point Richmond, California. It was actually a duplex, and somebody had gotten in there. This is high earthquake territory. The ground shakes 245 times average a month. Minor earthquakes. Somebody got under this duplex and started digging out. They had a small basement, maybe 10 foot deep in the width of the house or the building, and they started digging more basement out. And they had undercut the piers. And so you had a 4x4 pier a post coming down, setting where the land used to be. And then they trimmed it out at about 6x6 and straight to the ground, thinking that was going to hold that pier, hold that post, and hold that building up. So contractor one came in and bid the job at $22,000. And what he was going to do is put some steel beams under there and carry the weight of the house, take the weight off of the existing foundation, go in there and knock out those existing piers and replace them all the way to the ground, which was about 4 to 6 feet below where they were. And he wanted $22,000. Contractor number two came in and he wanted like $2,500. And I told contractor number two, I said, look, what are you going to do that for $2,500? And he says, oh, that's my secret. That's my ace in the hole. So I asked, I told him, I said, well, you've got the job. If you can convince me that what you're going to do is going to be adequate for what we need, then you have the job. He said, okay, great. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ignore the existing piers and posts that have been undermined. And where they dug it out, I'm going to put a brand new post, a pier and a post under the new space at the lower level. And I'm not going to touch the existing ones. And I said, that's fabulous. So a lot of times you can save money by the way you look at a project. I see we're running up on the clock now, so please call us. I really encourage you to call at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. We'll be right back after a short break, and we'll wrap it up on our last segment.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
Welcome back. This is Mike Young with Love My Renovation Project. Please call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. It's your questions and comments that make our show more interesting. So help me make it interesting for everybody by calling in and giving us your comments and questions about renovation or consulting. Or if you're a homeowner buying a house and you want to talk about what you should be looking for in a consultant. And the biggest thing is make sure your consultant is going to create a scope of work and give you a bid before you get a contractor's bid. That's the fastest way to close, trust me. I had a good friend of mine years ago that was bidding a job, and he was $5,000 higher than two other contractors and myself. Our bids were tight between $2,000, $20,000, and $21,000. We had three bids that way, and his bid was $25,500 or something like that. So I asked him, I said, why are you higher than all of us? What is it you saw differently about that job? And he said, well, when I got out there, the homeowner started adding stuff that wasn't in your scope. And I said, I don't see that on your bid. You didn't add those things in there. He said, well, you didn't have them listed, so I didn't know where to add them. I said, do this for me. I want you to look at my scope and bid my scope. Put anything and everything else that you wanted to bid for the client over and above my scope on a separate piece of paper. Oh, I can do that. When he did, he was right in the middle of all the other bids. So we were all tight between $20,000 and $21,000. So we had $20,500, $21,000, $20,750. And he learned a lesson. I had just gone through our training course years ago. This is back in 1995 or 6. But it was funny that he didn't learn that. You know, when we have a specification of repairs, that's all we want you to bid on. So as a contractor, if you're bidding and the homeowner adds a deck and a new window here and there, then you need to let those things go on a separate piece of paper. Otherwise, your bid is going to look high when it may not be high at all. Now, I want everybody to know, if you're holding the job up because you don't have a contractor's bid, yet the contractor somehow got a hold of the consultant's bid, and he's okay with that, there is nothing in the guideline that requires a contractor's bid. Close the loan. It's not a guideline issue. Maybe a supplemental issue by that particular lender. Find another lender. Now that we've said that, there's nothing in the guideline that requires a bid from a contractor. I can't beat that into your head enough. So why are we waiting and letting jobs be held up because you don't have a contractor's bid? When they know the rough amount is going to be $55,000, why do they have to come up with a bid that's exactly $55,000? They don't. And it wastes everybody's time, and it causes the loans to close slower, take longer to close. I actually had a lender get a contractor bid first, then send me out, where we found a handful of new health and safety items the contractor wasn't aware of, because he went out there originally with no written scope. And the homeowner said, okay, I want to put a deck. I want to take that deck out and put a brand new one. What else do I want to do? And he pulled these things out of their head. Contractor two comes out there, and he does the same thing, but he doesn't remember what he told the first contractor. So it's slightly different. So you're sending two contractors out there, and you're trying to get away without a consultant fee until later. Why? The consultant is what keeps this thing together. He writes the scope so that everybody's bidding the same list. That's important. I remember one project we had. I bid it in 4 days. Contractor turned his bid 4.5 weeks later. My bid was $159,000. Their bid was $298,000. $159,000 to $298,000. The owner looked at me and said, do you even know what you're doing? I suggested that we get another bid to determine that. Second bidder was a company who did a lot of work with his own, on his own company. He didn't have to hire subs as much. He was able to put the bid together in about a week and a half, 2 weeks maybe. But my bid was $159,000 and he came in at $161,000. Just $2,000 different than me. The HUD guideline says if the difference between the contractor bid and the consultant's bid is within the contingency amount, close the loan and pay it out of contingency, the difference. Or move, if it's different the other direction, then we'll just move $2,000 over to contingency and add to the contingency. Chances are you don't have enough contingency there anyway. But close the loan. We'll make the difference in the change orders as needed. I figured that, the client asked me, should we try to talk him down $2,000? And I figured that might not be the best way to start off a new relationship with a new contract. He may take that as a sign of what's to come. So just realize that. Don't try to get the lowest possible price you can get always on everything. Sometimes, you know, when you're within a half of 1% of the contractor and consultant's bid, or less than one half of 1% apart, do you really want to start off the relationship by saying, hey, can you meet this? Yeah, we could have. And he probably would have dropped his price $2,000. But it's just the relationship that you want to have with your contractor. And I recommend you going to keep a decent relationship with them and not start off on that note. So we bid many, many jobs. Most of the time they come in right on the money. Sometimes there is a difference. And if the difference, when you start drilling down on the difference, why they're different, you realize that the contractor has quite often put a few other things in there that he wants that the homeowner mentioned when he was out there. We just ask your contractors to bid it as we've written it. And if there's additional items the homeowner wants, and just throw those in on a separate sheet of paper so that your bid at least looks, has the same relationship to the other bids that are coming in. So that's the way it is. And we've come up against the end of our clock today. We appreciate you coming by. We thank you so much. Come back, see us next Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m. Hopefully I'll be in a much better and much healthier to argue with you on the phone. Give me a call when you can next week, 888-627-6008. And goodbye for now.
To Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.